I'm late.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, the show where we at least sell out 1 week before we go on the air. And now I'd like to introduce our panelists for tonight. From New York City, a fine, good young man, VRM.
I got a new mic so I won't sound like shit like I did on Wednesday, for those who listened.
Then from Cleveland, Ohio, a good Paul Heyman impersonating woman, Nikki Heyman.
That would be Columbus, Ohio, but I'll be in Cleveland by Sunday. Don't worry about that.
And finally, ladies and gentlemen, we have, if we total up his game show winnings, it comes up to around $178,562, man, Jason Block.
Thank you very much. Home of the 1-0 defending Super Bowl champion New York Giants.
I got Eli on my fantasy team. He's my starting QB.
Good for
I'm
you.
I'm happy what he did last night. Especially, hey, we don't take penalties for interceptions.
No, we don't. That's fine.
So he got me 14 solid points, and we got 14 solid points of interest for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Now, of course, we have to start, which has to be kind of breaking news, although it was debated for over 2 weeks. Ladies and gentlemen, Mick Foley to TNA, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is good, because we have a good, solid mic guy in TNA. He's very well-known amongst not only the casual audience, but the diehard audience, the diehard WWE and casual WWE audience, so they might hear, Foley somewhere else? Maybe I should check this out. It was announced on Friday that Mick Foley, actually tonight, at the TNA house show, that he actually made an appearance, got a promo. His kids were in the audience, Dewey Foley and the other one.
Well, and let's just set this up from a little timeline for new people who have just joined in. If you remember, about a month ago, Edge was looking for an inspiration for his Hell in a Cell match at the last pay-per-view. And his inspiration was one Mick Foley. He asked Mick Foley to help him. Mick Foley said no. And Edge basically destroyed him on camera. Set him through a table and a chair. The real reason why they did this was because Foley was unhappy of Vince McMahon screaming in his ear for 2 hours. And
did you blame him?
No, not a one. And in an interview with Opie and Anthony today, he even said that during the Edge and Vicky wedding, Vince was screaming and yelling in his ear. So he basically said, screw this, I'm out of here, and waited out his contract, and his contract expired on September 1st, which was Monday, correct?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was Labor Day.
Okay. So the rumors were circling even before his contract were expiring that he was going to go to TNA.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the announcement was made Thursday?
Wednesday, yeah, I believe it was Thursday.
Or Thursday, and on the website, there was a smiley face in barbed wire saying, have a nice day.
Yeah, that's actually somebody's signature on the WrestleCraft Farms. I did see that was really interesting.
And then tonight, as you said, he made his debut. So, what do you a question to everyone here. Is he going to wrestle? Is he going to be a voice? What do you think he's going to do? And who do you think what do you think would be the smartest thing to do?
Smartest thing? Get rid of Don West.
Ah, you beat me to it. That was the first match I wanted. Mick Foley just beating the ever-loving hell out of Don West and shaking Mike Tenay's hand and having a seat. However, one of the things I think they're going to do at some point is they're going to steer him towards Abyss.
Oh, man.
Kind of like a mentor figure for Abyss?
If he could be a mentor figure, he could be the brother that Abyss never had, and it will end in barbed wire and fire and broken tables and chairs and... Oh, excuse me.
And Mick Foley losing his other ear.
And both of them with the biggest smiles on their faces is Foley's laying on his back going bang, bang, and Abyss just going, yeah...
Wow, man! Yeah, exactly. Now, didn't they have what was it called? Barbed wire massacre. Two barbed wire massacre matches.
They've had a couple, and I think Mick Foley would be very interested in doing that because his wrestling role, you know, regardless of where he lands, he's not going to wrestle all the time. Maybe three or four times a year.
Exactly. I mean, but overall, I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, you know, all right, fine. I mean, I don't look at this as a, oh my God, this is a game changer acquisition. I see this as, okay, TNA stealing another older generation WWE name. I mean, there were rumors bandied about that both Christian Cage and
Gale.
The Dudley Boys contracts are both expiring. I think Christian Cage, and it was discussed on a PW Insider hotline this week, that it would be a very interesting thing if Cage went back to the WWE now as a bigger star when he left it.
I would think that would kind of be helpful because they're really hurting for older, more experienced talent on SmackDown. I mean, if you take a look at SmackDown's roster right now, Undertaker trips aside, the most experienced guy you have on there, just on the SmackDown roster, not the combined SmackDown ECW roster, take a look at it. I think it's Matt Hardy. About 10, 15 years pro?
You could put it super crazy, but that's, you know, that doesn't count because he doesn't get on TV except for the last 2 weeks.
Right, because he's feuding with MVP. So all in all, I would say fully to TNA, good if they do it right, and as you know, TNA does not have a history of doing stuff right. I'm erring on the side of caution on this one, saying this could work if done properly.
Agreed. And do not be surprised if one or both of those people I mentioned, Christian Cage and Dudley Boys, come back to the WWE within the next 2 to 3 months. I wouldn't be surprised.
I'll give you a yes on Christian. WWE is a little nervous about taking the Dudleys back, mainly because of Bubba. They want Devon. They really want Devon. But Bubba, this wonderful heel, asshole attitude you've seen for him the last couple of months, that's him. He really is that big of an asshole.
I would say this. First of all, is that you, Forth?
Yes, it is.
All right. Welcome forth to the show, ladies and gentlemen. And we're glad you're here because tonight we have pick-ems and you have a belt to defend.
That I do.
Mm-hmm. Also, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to point out an error in my opinion of this. Actually, back in 2005, the Dudley Boys actually had a contract on the table. They were going to sign the contract, which would have resulted in lower pay, but that's because they'd be working lesser days and would mainly be in... at the time, Deep South,
uh-huh.
Maybe OVW, and this is going
right.
By their shoot interview with RF Video. And one person screwed up everything.
Who was that?
Johnny Ass. I mean, Johnny Ace.
Yeah, Johnny Ace.
They
had a deal going with Vincent Steph. Saying, okay, we'll accept the deal. Johnny Ace screwed everything up. He did the same thing with Spike, too.
fair, the guy just got a Victoria's Secret in the mail, and he decided to hire some more talent.
Actually, that's how he hired Kelly Kelly.
Yeah. That is actually the messed up part about it.
Yeah, strange but true. That's how he hired her. Elsewhere in the news, ladies and gentlemen, as we all know, we have a pay-per-view coming up, WWE Unforgiven. Tickets still available. And at a good price, too.
Lots of tickets still available.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what do you mean, lots
of tickets? We have a new caller. Caller, hello.
Hey, it's Typho.
Hey, Typho.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
He's all here.
Go ahead on the tickets there, Seidelman.
Wednesday, Thursday, according to Figure Four Online, who is partnered with the Observer, less than 6,000 sold.
Oh.
For the Gund Arena for this Sunday in Unforgiven. Just between all six of us, let's come up with a list to think of why this is. And I'll start us off because I think it's pretty stupid to book a pay-per-view the same weekend as the Cleveland Browns home opener.
I hear that. I agree with that.
I'll give another reason. The card, for the most part, sucks.
You got three quote-unquote innovative matches, which is kind of, it's just Hardcore Battle Royal revisited without the 24/7 and without the hardcore.
And wasn't this done in Ring of Honor also, but better? With their scramble matches? Or is that just a tornado match, just worded differently?
Not sure. I mean, basically, Unforgiven is a one-match card, and that match almost didn't happen, as we'll get to in a little while.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of disagree on the fact that it's because there's a football game in town, because you always get a lot of sales from out of town, including my dear friend Sign Guy, who's actually coming up from Texas to go to this show.
You mean Mr. Deal or No Deal?
Yeah, him. He's coming up. The Cleveland Browns game doesn't even conflict with the pay-per-view. The game gets out at 4 o'clock, which means you'd have just enough time to go move your car. There's a steakhouse and a sports bar within 3 blocks of the arena. You can go have dinner and then go have yourself a seat at the pay-per-view. There's no conflict. And frankly, if I only had $100 in my hand, I'd go to the pay-per-view because they'll laugh at you at the gates for a Cleveland Browns game for only $100. The repetition of these title matches is kind of tedious, and I don't think a lot of people approve of that. Because of these scramble matches, it's only a 6-match card. I find one of the only redeeming value at this point is that it's still Orton free.
Well, Raw wasn't, but again, we'll get to that.
Right.
Actually, as a matter of fact, let's get to it right now.
Wait, hold on. Before we do that, I want to say this. I was just on Ticketmaster. I did a search of best available one seat. Best available one seat, floor section 3, row O.
That's 13.
And this is the TV side in the back corner. So if you're looking at the ring, it's back and to your right.
Just for one seat. Bring binoculars or be prepared to stand on your chair. That's a horrible seat.
How much is it going for?
$85.
Oh, wow.
Which isn't bad for pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
And you can get into this pay-per-view for $25.
With the quality of the pay-per-view, as looks like what it's going to happen, I'll probably just wait 4 months and watch it on 24/7.
Not a problem. but I will be there. I have camera side seats, so I could try to make it entertaining, but I, to be honest, I don't have any signs done.
Oh, well. Mm.
Well, that's what tomorrow is for. Probably recap. Okay, let's go to Rob.
Added Maurice and McCool.
Oh.
Please.
That's not going to
fail. Hell.
Yeah. Honestly, judging by the way things going out for this pay-per-view, I think it might be kind of WWE unwatchable.
Oh, Bird.
With all apologies to the Brian Kendrick.
No, you know what? That's going to be interesting because I think Brian Kendrick is going to be a star in that match, but we'll again, you know, later on.
Must be trained by my. I heard that he was highly regarded by Michael Zantrips.
Who?
Shawn Michaels and Triple H.
Sorry, I didn't hear you right. But that's okay.
We open up Raw, and guess who shows up in the ring?
Mr. Motorcycle Safety himself, yes.
Roethlisberger?
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Horn. Yes, Randy Orton is back in the WWE, which means thousands of the TV sets just turned off.
Am I the only one that we went right from the Kowalski tribute to several ads and then Orton halfway down the ramp?
No, I had the same. I had the same thing, and I thought it was more than apropos. Even USA didn't want to show him.
Oh.
But you know what, though? I mean, okay, I'm probably going to be the eternal optimist here, but I actually think the way the promo was written, not the way he presented it, because he couldn't present a promo, you know. He's about as charismatic as Joe Biden. Okay.
But in his defense, he did have plenty of time to rehearse.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because, you know, he was on his back recovering from a motorcycle accident. We all know he likes to be on his back.
With a broken freaking neck.
Help.
Hold that thought. Hold all your thoughts.
Yes. Hey.
When?
Okay, come on. Put it to you this way. Gay Randy Orton jokes just epic win all the time. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
But seriously, the way he set up the promo, it was fine. It's like, okay, I've been out, you know, and because I'm so much of an egotist, and he laid out all the champs and basically said that all the champs were crappy.
Let's start off with... Randy said, here we go. Let's start off with women's champion Beth Phoenix was embarrassing herself by being in love with Santino Marella. You can't help by being who you're in love with.
What's she going to be embarrassed about? She wears the pants in the relationship.
Sad but true.
And probably has a longer sausage. But anyway. Anyway. Well, you know, I guess I'm rehearsing. Hopefully all the comedy genes aren't going out now. Anyway, he lays out that she lays out Beth Phoenix, Santino Marella, who else?
Then he calls out the tag champs. They call themselves priceless, but he really calls them worthless.
Pop called Kettle Black, too.
It was just worth a boo. And then later on, say the real problem on the wall is CM Punk disgracing the World Heavyweight title. Ray said when he was champion, CM Punk was wrestling in no-name towns for a no-name promotion. Excuse me.
Ring of Honor. Clap, 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 clap. Anyway.
Ring of Honor. Ah, crap, I dropped my dictionary. Now, how will I be able to advocate a strong vocabulary?
Just talking.
Anyway,
I wish they had been just a little further east for this promo, because the fans would have torn Randy apart at this point.
In Wilkes-Barre, PA, they probably should have been in Philly. No,
oh,
St. Louis,
I would
Missouri.
Have...
I'm sorry, they're in St. Louis, Missouri. Let's see. They haven't run St. Louis much. They probably would have got, if they would have gotten to Nashville, they would have gotten a lot of heat.
Easily.
Yeah.
And then I believe CM Punk comes out after that.
Yep.
Not yet. He would love to challenge him, but he's not medically cleared. Dan Orton comes out. Punk said not everybody has a daddy and granddaddy to help get them into the WWE. Oh!
It's a
I don't know why. I love the whole promo with Punk and Orton. I don't know why, but just somehow it made me want to see a match between the two at some point.
Exactly. It actually did its job, okay? I'm sorry. You know?
I actually see this happening at Survivor Series.
And Orton actually set himself up for what I think is, which has been another open secret in wrestling, which we'll talk about later on. And I think if that happens, it could be very good down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, we get to see Punk put Orton to sleep instead of Orton putting us to sleep.
No, you don't. No. Well, okay, yeah.
Thank you. I've been wanting one all night.
Pretty soon we have to pay Mark and Ray Ellis for that sound.
What you were saying.
Which is only a joke me and Jason get.
Right, exactly. But eventually, you're going to see an Evolution 2.0, I think. I really believe this. Because of what happened later on.
Yeah.
Right. Go on.
Then he goes on to say, Punk says he doesn't drink, smoke, or do drugs. And he doesn't go for only like motorcycle-wise doing Papa Reillys and re-injuring his neck.
Which was nice. That was great.
Punk says he has the championship scramble to get ready for and then we'll have to sell things later. Randy Orton... Punk said there's only one person in the ring who is pathetic, and it's not me. Sadly, I wish Lillian Garcia were in the ring.
Excuse me, what did you just say? No disrespect to her
looks, but I just can't stand her ring announcing.
Excuse me, Rob? Don't make me hang up.
Oh, here we go.
Do not make me hang up. Okay? Not only am I a mark for Lillian Garcia, I'm actually a legit friend of hers. So do not insult her. Okay?
All right.
Okay? Go on.
Right. Let's see. All right, I have to add that to page 475 on Stupid Things Robert Sylvan Has Said, Volume 3.
Mm-hmm.
Volumes 1 and 2 are out by Broderbund Books.
Next.
Oh!
Best sellers.
I've said a lot of stupid stuff in my life,
mm-hmm.
and I'm only 22.
Who hasn't?
Yes.
Right.
Randy Orton says it all the time, and he gets paid a lot more than you do.
Thank you, Orton. Yeah.
So I believe Orton leaves the ring at that point.
Yes, and JBL comes out.
Here we go.
It's like trading Perrigo for Yum Foods.
Next.
Yeah. They showed a huge JBL mark in the crowd.
That was funny. That was
impressive. What was better was his poster that they showed in the pre-show. It was the great big bill that said, I have this seat because I'm rich.
In JBL, we trust. JBL said there was an 80% mathematical chance that CM Punk would lose the championship at Unforgiven. And then we get Fire and Brimstone.
Yay.
And then Batista's music pops and we get a clusterfuck.
Dave Smash everybody!
Yeah, Hulk Smash. Yeah, Dave smashes JBL, he smashes Kane, and for good measure, Punk as well.
Oh, he smashed the hell out of Punk.
Oh, yeah.
It's like we accidentally flipped the impact.
Yeah.
No, actually, I don't think Punk was around when they had Impact. You have to go back to the weekly pay-per-views for TNA when he was there. Julio De Niro and CM Punk when they were part of the New Church with James Mitchell.
They were in the Gathering, weren't they, with Raven?
No, New Church.
They were? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was New Church. Not Gathering, because Punk always feuded with Raven. Then we get to the first match of the night. We hear a familiar theme. Charlie Haas, we think John Cena's going to be coming out, but it's actually Charlie Haas dressed as John Cena.
Which, again, this is funny shit. It's great
stuff.
It is.
Big time.
I'm wondering what they're going to do next, and I hope they found a gimmick for Charlie Haas at least for the next few weeks just to hang out.
They're working on something that was said. Maybe it was even Vince himself who said, I wouldn't pay to watch Charlie Haas. So Charlie said, okay, he'll pay to see just about everybody else. I can do just about everybody else.
Still, I think this is the only
time. He said the Haas. Oh, sorry, go ahead, fourth.
I was going to say, for all we know, this probably. Never mind, I'll tell you after the match.
All right. Charlie Haas then cut a promo, said, the Haas is here, and you can't see me. From a distance, Haas was a dead-on Cena impersonator.
Agreed.
It was hilarious.
I liked it. I don't know if I should feel happy or not for him, but at least he gives him something to do, though.
Yeah.
And what he can do is lose to D'Lo Brown.
No, he lost to Kofi Kingston.
Oh, Kofi, oh, yeah. Kofi Kingston and his third leg. Yes, okay.
Ew.
Sorry.
Hey, that's the closest you'll get to John Cena and jobbing in the first match in the same sentence.
Oh!
That's hard to do. That's worth some points somewhere. Win!
He got one. That'll work.
And I just got a bill from Mark and Ray Ellis.
Yeah, all right, done. Next.
Randy Orton and Team Worthless, or Priceless. Orton slapped Rhodes and said Rhodes and DiBiase had the most talent in the locker room, but they lost the handicap match to John Cena. Nice little jab there. Orton says that they take stand until then, he will stand by everything he said about them.
We'll fast forward
sometime later on the show. Then we get a backstage segment with Adam Lee and T. Long and Worthless Bimbo number 8743.
Codename Tiffany.
Reminds me of an E-Fed character that that I work with, well, until recently when the writer dropped her.
Mm-hmm.
Or my E-Fed, the sexy female journalist, only identified by a number.
69. Anyway,
her too.
Oh. That's how she got her job.
That is true.
Sadly, I don't doubt that. Kane then busted into the office and confronted Adam Lee. Adam Lee said he was sending a message that Raw needs. Excuse me, I have fry stuck in my throat. I mean, a French fry stuck in my throat.
Yeah.
Adam Lee said that Adam Lee said he was sending a message to Raw and Raw needs Rey Mysterio back. Kane says Rey's body has been massacred and his soul has been extinguished. But by all means, keep hoping. Now, this leads to my worst moment of the week, which we'll discuss later. We had an ECW Battle Royal, which is fine. Except to the last only about 4 minutes, Mark Henry dominated everybody.
I had no problem with that, actually. That was fine.
No, neither do I.
No, it was good. I mean, you know, look, if you're going to play Mark Henry up as this big-ass monster heel, he's got to dominate these people. You know?
Yeah, makes me wish he had a better manager.
Yeah, Mushmouth from Fat Albert, yeah.
You don't like the sleeveless shirts?
No, I don't like somebody going out to people asking them for their cell phone.
could ask Chavo for a trade for Bam Neely.
Yeah. No, I got a better idea. Mark Henry dumps Tony Atlas, and what about Timmy Baltimore?
For an announcer or interviewer, what are we doing?
Personal interviewer or manager?
Timmy Baltimore would be better as a straight-up interviewer. He does have a mild disability, so walking him around wouldn't be a very good idea.
Okay. So maybe put him behind the table.
Yeah.
We get a backstage clip with Chris Jericho, Lance Cade sitting close by, and his lawyer looked over the contract.
Cade seems so involved in it as well. Like, he actually had a personal stake. I bet his name's not even on it.
Well, he kind of does, because Lance Cade trained Shawn Michaels.
And,
I mean, Shawn Michaels trained Lance Cade.
Right.
Oh, God.
But he's still Big Bird from OVW, sorry.
Then we get a grudge match between Jamie Noble and King William Regal. And a shocker! Noble wins!
Hooray!
I think it's a reason to...
And there's another chat.
How did Regal stop wearing that singlet thing?
Oh, yeah, well, ugly. But,
I'll take it over his man boobs.
Well, the idea is that Noble and, what was it, Layla L., fresh from her, unfortunate dealings with her mom, is back and now I think is going to deal with Jamie Noble as the new power couple of Raw, so to speak.
And he got reservations at the Waffle House for after the show.
Which I've actually eaten at, and you know what? It's not as big, depends on the Waffle House, but there you go.
No, I've eaten at one. I'm just amused at the concept of reservations at one of these places.
Kind of sad that we don't have a Waffle House over here. We don't even have a Chick-fil-A over here.
I'm sorry.
I had a Krispy Kreme briefly, but then they closed it down.
We have one of those over here.
Okay, that's donut.
I've got three. I can send you one.
Thanks.
Let's start with what I have to feel is probably the worst match of the week. The 6-Diva tag team match on Raw.
Oh.
Which, since this was pre-taped, got edited. They actually had to fix it.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Sorry?
I said there's a reason for that. Her name's Candice Michelle.
Well, yeah, but there's some things you just can't fix.
Right.
I wonder how bad this was. So there it is. I wonder how bad this was edited. Was it like a usual SmackDown, or like when Henry and Angle were trying to break through the cage and spent like 5 minutes trying to get into the door?
There's a infamous match with Jackie Gata and somebody else from shortly after the Tough Enough that she got hired on. They threw her on TV with somebody else, and they had the absolute worst women's match ever until Monday night.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
This was probably the worst Raw ever. The worst booked Raw ever. Kevin Nash, on his shoot interview, yes, this was the same night where he blew out his good quad.
With the 10-man match that everybody didn't know what the heck to do when he fell down screaming like a little baby.
Yeah, it was that night.
Triple H is pointing at the monitor going, ha, ha, ha,
what happened was, it was a tag team match.
Mm-hmm.
It was Bradshaw and Trish versus Jackie Gata and Christopher Nowinski.
Oh, I wouldn't even watch that now.
No, and unfortunately, we've got 25 minutes to get through three shows and pick 'ems here.
Oh, sorry.
No, actually, we'll, after a while, we'll probably just head to Pick'ems.
Okay.
Because we're almost done with this.
Okay.
But Jillian Hall started off singing the horrid Nelly song.
Which was being from St. Louis. And again, I'm sorry, I love that Jillian Hall gimmick. But anyway.
Great gimmick, but I don't know, maybe it's starting to wear thin. I mean, it was originally supposed to be a stab at Brooke Hogan.
Brooke Hogan,
we can keep... Go ahead.
Brooke Hogan's still on VH1, you know, so...
No, oh, then I guess it still has some merit. Candice Michelle then came out with... Has to be one of the worst entrance themes of all time.
Even worse than American Males?
Even worse than Man's Man?
Yes, yes. I'm going to put it as worse than Kelly Kelly's theme song. Her original one before they remixed it.
They just want you to raise your hands up.
I'm sorry, but Candice Michelle, sorry, but Candice Michelle and horrid techno beats does not mix.
What about the softcore porn saxophone? Is that mixed?
Yes.
Of course it does.
But yeah, after about 10 minutes of working, only three of it made it to air. Candice rolls Beth up to win the match.
And I died a little inside.
I think everybody died a little inside.
If you can, you... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I got breaking news. She broke her arm after that, walking up the stage.
Somewhere Ashley is laughing.
Yes, definitely win. But if you must see the entire train wreck, there is a fan cam of the blown ending of the match shot from behind the JBL clone in the crowd. Somewhere on YouTube, it's out there.
Watch at your own risk.
I am not responsible for any pain and suffering it causes you.
Nobody is. Then we get to the Santino Marella match. Now, this was great. He started off with addressing Orton and his girlfriend, which I was fine with. And now we get to the best thing about Raw. The Hulkameter.
That is great. I'm sorry, and I don't know if they're going to do it for a long time, but damn, it's going to be funny. And put it to you this way, if it leads to the Honky Tonk Man actually being on TV, more the better.
That'll probably be hard to do. What I heard, he doesn't have a good rep with the E at the moment.
Oh,
but
he
I'm
hates
certain,
everybody.
Well, and the feeling's mutual with most people.
Well, in that case, Santino sounds slated to break the record as long as he doesn't do anything stupid off camera.
And Santino's really smart, so he should be fine. Face D'Lo Brown, and then D'Lo dominated the match, but missed the frog splash, and Santino rolled him up and got the pin.
I don't like the fact that all of D'Lo's matches on television these last 2 weeks have just been involved with Santino, as if now he's facing out his personal jobber.
Mm-hmm. Then we get Crime Time versus Morrison the Miz, ended in a no contest. Then Rhodes and DiBiase attacked Crime Time, and they took back their belts.
At least Raw got a shot at John Morrison. That should count for something.
Oh, no, I don't mind that view. I was just thinking that I think it's just kind of stupid for Priceless to get their tag belts back.
No, I think, again, it made sense. It made sense.
Yeah.
It did. I mean, look, because then Rhodes and DiBiase impressed, quote-unquote, Randy Orton, which eventually will lead to Evolution 2.0. Trust me.
I think it would have been more impressive, though, if Crime Time came out Sunday bragging about those belts and then Priceless just utterly and completely squash them and take the
belt away.
I love Crime Time to Death. So, but we're not talking about the pay per view yet.
Okay.
No, that's actually in a few minutes. The Orton, Cody Rhodes, Teddy DiBiase, Chris Rainer, and Dishoff, their tag belts get signal of approval. Then we have Josh Matthews, who thankfully still has a job.
He's a wig.
Yeah. Mickey James and Ken Kennedy were over at the Republican National Convention. You know what I find interesting? Vince sends the higher-named wrestlers to the Republican National Convention and sends a couple of nobodies to the Democratic National Convention.
You call Batista a nobody?
You call Shelton Benjamin nobody?
One out of two.
Okay, bad example.
No.
More weight! Yes! Most weight in this episode, ladies and gentlemen. We broke the record.
Yeah.
Now I definitely got to pay Mark and Ray Ellis.
Yeah, good. Well, okay.
I'll send them a dollar. Pretty much all I could afford at the moment. Anyway, I just want to say about the Republican National Convention, I thought it was a great choice for actually political announcement. I think it was a great choice that John McCain and the Republican Party picked Sarah Palin as the vice president. I think if anybody that could counter Obama and Joe Biden, I think it's her.
And as I said last week, no matter what your political affiliation, you're going to either have a black guy or a woman in the White House. That's come November, and that's pretty damn cool.
And to be honest with you, judging by their experiences and their past history, I think I would take McCain and Palin over Biden and Obama.
Ditto. But that's not what we're here to talk about.
No, we're not.
No. Royal Battle Royal. Kane won the match, but the match was pretty good.
Now, didn't you say that this was your worst moment of the week?
Yes. Rey Mysterio music hits. He comes out. He looks good. No badly hurt stuff. No bed. No tape. No, not selling any injuries that Kane would have done to him.
Now, you could play this one or two ways. Either I'm with you on this one, or Kane could have been lying.
I'm going with B.
Either that or Kane simply had Ray in the trunk of his 97 Tercel and Adam Lee rear-ended it and the trunk came open.
No. It was a newer car. It had the little child escape lock on it.
Yeah, exactly.
So he popped it out and jumped out and ran away.
Yeah.
But no, Kane could be lying because it's actually, if you want some continuity, ladies and gentlemen, Kane was either lied to or was lying to us about his burn scars when he was unmasked in 03. So you can't always go on his word.
That
right.
would make sense, yeah.
So I mean, look, at first, I was with Rob on this, but I'm more of the idea that, look, Kane's a liar. Bad guys lie. You know, what you're supposed to do.
Or you can be the complete opposite and tell the truth, which is what Chris Jericho is doing with Shawn Michaels.
Ah, yes, the contract signing.
Main event contract signing, ladies and gentlemen. Dun-dun-dun.
I would actually have taken... I love the contract sign because this is a real great feud.
Best feud this year, without question.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Jericho and Michaels are at the top of their game. Jericho and Michaels basically came out, quickly signed the contract, and basically did another similar promo that they've been doing over the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Which is still probably a great promo.
Exactly. And then Jericho and Michaels get into it. Lance Cade gets involved gets kicked in the head. But as Michaels was falling out of the ring, oops, he tears his tricep.
Not badly, though.
Not bad enough to stop the match, though, but it is pretty bad, though, so I think Jericho might be... Oh.
So...
The match probably... They said the match was in jeopardy. It's not really in jeopardy. The match is still going to go on. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for pay-per-view pick-ems!
I told a friend to go with him at like midnight somewhere, go out, so it's probably a good thing we get started now.
Yes, six-match pay-per-view, so it should be quite interesting.
As of now, we don't know if there's going to be anything added.
And if there's any match, when we recap it next week, if there's any changes, we'll let you guys know, and those matches will not count. Three scramble matches, actually five title matches, and a great feud, hopefully stretching match. Let's start off with the bottom. Oh, by the way, the rules, 1 point for each correct answer. Most points wins. Fourth is the returning champion. Thanks to SummerSlam being a draw.
Quick question, though. Are you going to count any of the interim champions, or is it just going to be who takes the belt at the end?
That will be decided when we get to the scrambles.
Okay.
First off, World Tag Team Champions match, Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase versus Crime Time. Who takes it? We start with VRM.
I'm going to say Crime Time finally wins their stupid title match that they've had forever.
Jason Block?
I'm going to say Priceless wins because they're going to be set up as the new protégés for Randy Orton. They keep the belts.
Nikki Hammond.
I got to go with Priceless. It's a who's getting the push match at this point. Crime Time is back, but they're not being pushed. It took them a while just to get them this match. So
hey,
Priceless.
Phil.
I'm going to go with Priceless as well. They just got their belts back, so they're not going to lose them already.
Fourth.
I'm going with Priceless because they are the ones getting pushed out of this.
I'm going with Team Priceless as well. And now, ladies and gentlemen, what I'd like to consider, which is probably going to be the worst match in recent pay-per-view history. Maryse versus Michelle McCool.
This is probably contributing to the lack of ticket buys.
Honestly, this match should have been on free TV because they could actually edit the match and make it kind of look good.
Should have been on Heat.
If it existed.
Then it should be on ECW. No, wait, that's live. Crap. Start with VRM.
If it was anything other than Pick'em, that would say, who the fuck cares?
We can take that option, you get a half point.
Yeah,
if I don't
say really
who
care.
The fuck
I'll
cares, then you get a half point.
Yeah. I'll say Michelle McCool because I don't see that belt moving anywhere right now. I don't see it moving at all except into a trash can where it will then explode and light on fire.
Or on a brass
this,
doll.
Paging Alundra Blaze.
Yes, exactly.
Jason.
The less said about this, the better. Mrs. Undertaker in the third takes the belt.
Nikki.
There's no reason for Michelle to drop the belt at this point, so let's leave it where it is.
Typho.
McCool retains because Maryse is just filler until Natty gets her shot.
Fourth.
Betting on McCool right now is safer than betting on the Harlem Globetrotters, so I'm going with that one.
I'll go with McTaker as well.
McTaker.
Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho, unsanctioned match, which practically means no rules. No problem. VRM.
Okay, my match of the night choice right here. The injury will play a little part. You'll probably see a little bit working on the arm, trying to sell it. I will go with Michaels. And then he takes off.
Jason?
I am going to go with Chris Jericho on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Michaels is going to kick the absolute shit out of him, and it's going to be a brutal, bloody brawl, but Jericho is going to be in position to be a challenger for one CM Punk, and I think that Chris Jericho eventually will have the belt on his waist by the end of this year. Mark my words, that's a prediction. I think CM Punk and Chris Jericho will have a phenomenal feud. Jericho's going to take this one.
Nikki.
Even though Jericho has had the upper hand the entire time, I think that's going to continue at this point. Michael's injury isn't as bad as they thought. It's not one they need to operate on him, but he could stand a little bit of time off. So, yeah, this is going to be brutal. They're both going to be bloody. Chris Jericho is going to say that he shut the door on Shawn Michaels, and he's going to wave as the stretcher goes up the ramp. Well, no, he's going to dump the stretcher too, because I agree. He is this close to going into the title picture, and CM Punk needs somebody other than who's in the scramble to face right now.
Right. Typho.
I say Shawn Michaels gets the win, and Jericho with a very big post-match beatdown.
Fourth.
I agree with Typho. I think Jericho's going to lose, but going to beat Michaels up after the match.
Actually, I'm going to agree as well. I think Shawn Michaels needs to get one up in this feud. He will, but Chris Jericho beatdown will do just that. Now we get to the scrambles, and here are the rules for the scrambles. 1 point for who wins it outright, but 1 point for who gets the first fall. I mean, who's the first to claim victory?
Okay.
And become the first interim champ.
All right.
We start off with the ECW scramble. Mark Henry, The Miz, Matt Hardy, Finlay, and who's the other guy?
Chavo.
Okay. First fall, and who wins outright, we go to VRM.
All right, being as he's the only person who would even seemingly have a chance to get a fall on Mark Henry, I will go with Finlay getting the first fall, but after that, it's academic Mark Henry.
Jason.
I'm going to say no falls. Mark Henry holds on to it for the entire 20 minutes.
Ooh.
Oh, wait,
Okay.
I forgot. Hold on. I just remembered. Isn't it that whoever gets the first, that you can pin anyone? Or do you have to pin the champion?
No, you can pin anybody and win.
All right, but I'll still stick with Finlay.
All right. Nikki.
I say The Miz gets the first fall, and then he brags about it and pretty much gets sat on by Mark Henry. at this point, I really don't think they're going to move the belt. But Mark Henry is probably going to end up with a desperation fall at the end because they're going to make Matt Hardy look as strong as possible in this match. But Mark Henry retains.
I'm going to say first fall is going to go to Matt Hardy, and the match ends with Mark Henry still champion.
Fourth?
I have to go with Finlay getting the first fall, but Henry is going to get the belt back at the end.
I'm going to go with Chavo getting the first fall. Because more than likely, it'll be him and Matt Hardy will start it off, because those two can go for 20 minutes. But yeah, Mark Henry will retain outright. Then we get to the World Heavyweight Championship Scramble. This is the wrong one. Punk, JBL, Kane, Rey Mysterio, and the Animal Dave Batista. We start with VRM again.
I'm going to go JBL first of all. And Punk retains.
Jason.
I agree. JBL first fall, Punk retains.
Vicky.
I don't see JBL getting the first fall. I'm going to get the first fall to Kane. The belt's not moving, though. Punk retains.
Typho.
First fall, Rey Mysterio. Punk retains.
Oh, I shudder at that thought.
I'll punt, but let Ray get an interim fall. It's going to happen during that match. It's got to.
Yeah.
He's going to get Kane. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Fourth.
I'm going to say Kane gets the first fall, but JBL wins it at the end.
Wow.
Ooh.
Okay.
You are saying the belt moves.
I think it'll move because I think that in two of the scrambles, it's going to stay with its owner. So one of them, it has to change.
Right idea, but I don't think it's going to happen. It'll probably happen. I won't spoil who I'm going to pick. But yeah, I actually see Batista getting the first fall. But then Punk puts JBL to sleep for the 1-2-3 while Batista and Kane are... While Batista, Kane, and Ray are double-teaming Kane. And then when they see the ring, one, ding, ding, ding. The three count happens and... Bah, oh. One, ding, ding, ding.
Okay.
20 seconds comes off. Punk wins. But Batista will get the first fall. God. Sounds weird, me actually giving Batista a title belt.
Weird for you giving Batista anything.
Yeah.
But grief.
2 minutes before 12, just to let you know, guys.
I know. Last one. WWE Championship Scramble. Trips, Benjamin, Hardy, MVP, and the Brian Kendrick. We go to VRM.
MVP first fall. MVP wins.
Whoa. Jason.
The Brian Kendrick first fall. Jeff Hardy gets his title belt.
Okay, Nikki.
Shelton Benjamin with the first fall. Triple H retains. They have focused so much on titles have to change hands. They're not.
Typho.
First fall MVP. Shelton Benjamin, new WWE champion.
Whoa. Wow. That's brave.
That is a brave pick. Typho, I'll say this. I'll make a bet with you. If that happens, you get the belt. And you get to host this show next week.
All right.
Well, if that happens, I'm glad my successor is at least somebody like Typho.
Fourth.
I think MVP will get the first fall, but Triple H will win, and MVP will start talking about, oh, I tasted the gold, and I want it more.
No, you guys got it all wrong. MVP will get the first fall, sure, but the Brian Kendrick will get the win.
That is a braver pick.
Braver, but it's a smarter pick. They've been really building up the Brian Kendrick. Sure, you cashed in early, but think about it. Great matches can happen between the Brian Kendrick and Triple H. The Brian Kendrick being the young, arrogant Punk that knows what the hell he's doing and Triple H is trying to put him in place, but he couldn't. And with that ends the live show for tonight. We will go to the archive for BRM, Jason Block, Nikki Heyman, Typo, and four-time Robert saying, good night.
Good night to the live audience.
Now to the archive. Man. Oh, by the way, Typo?
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen, you got to put this on your signature and you got to keep it for 30 days on the WrestleCrap forums. Robert Q. Seidelman is the sexiest man alive.
Oh, dear God.
You know, I really have to depend on Shelton Benjamin.
Yes.
I'm sorry. You just, okay, you just got pwned, okay?
And with damn that, well better be a gold standard.
Typo, hold it, everybody, hold it. Will you accept my bet, Typo?
You're asking me to have a lot of confidence in my pick here.
Do it. And next to that signature, you're going to have a picture, an owned picture, of Triple H kicking a Spirit Squad midget. And I will find you that picture.
Do we have a deal, Typo?
Yeah, why not?
I'm going to look for that picture right now.
Because
I believe this show's being taped. This show is being saved on the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, this is just hilarious. You guys are a bunch of screwed up guys, people. Let me just tell you.
Jason.
Wrestling fans, we are screwed up. We know we're screwed up.
Jason, you should visit the WrestleCrap forums.
That's screwed up.
Yes.
Well, okay.
Where we have about 15 page threads when we're photoshopping naked JBL.
Okay. What? Okay. No, don't link me. I don't want to know.
Okay.
I don't want to see it.
Hey,
I don't want to
see it.
You know. I don't know who's more crazy or overreactive: game show fanboys or wrestling fanboys. I mean,
wrestling fanboys by far.
No, but
wrestling fanboys by far. Because listen to this, Jason.
Yes.
To give you a brief comparison.
Yes.
Game show fans, when they see a popular franchise that they're like bastardized, they'll say, "Oh my God, this sucks," and they won't watch it ever again. Wrestling fanboys, we stick in there week after week after week, and we complain.
And we bitch and moan. Yes. How many times did we watch WCW Nitro and Thunder and say this can't get any worse?
Oh yeah, it can.
Huh?
I watched most of the Team Challenge series, so I think that, as painful as it is to watch, I think we stay in there for the worst, because it's almost like Plan 9 from outer space.
I don't think I ever missed the Thunder.
Well, okay. Hey, if we survive Vince Russo and David Arquette as world champions, we can take just about anything.
No. Look, we survived Katie Vick.
Yep.
Yes.
We survived the birth of a hand.
We survived God.
God, yes.
Al Wilson.
Yes, that's right.
Dr. Heine.
Dr. Heine, yes.
Kurt Angle wanting bestiality checks.
Oh,
any exploitation.
What?
The Bastion Brothers carrying out Angle's twisted fantasy, anyway.
What stuck up Jim Ross's ass?
Yes.
No.
The Kiss My Ass Club is okay. I mean, but now we have to survive through most of TNA, plus Vince Russo.
ODB running to the bathroom.
Not washing after using it.
Yeah.
Gross.
That actually was on this week.
Why don't we get back to TNA and just actually have them wrestle for a moment?
No, that's no fun. He wants his entertainment with his sport. That's why
let's talk about TNA.
why the Prince Justice friends have a job.
Actually, we
wanted to God.
Did anything happen of importance on ECW this week? Well, actually, the best moment on wrestling this week was Evan Bourne's shooting star press on Mark Henry. That was a thing of beauty.
The best Super thing crazy happened, won a match.
Well, the I best thing on ECW didn't even get to, wasn't even on camera. After the show, after the eight man was over, Hornswoggle ran over to the guardrail and starts getting little kids to come up over the barricade. They had six or seven little kids running around in circles with Hornswoggle. Then Finley started running around with them. Then Tommy started running around with them. Then Seidel and Evan Bourne started running around with them. Then Charles Robinson got in the ring and kicked everybody out because they were trying to change the set.
Again. I'm sorry I have to leave you guys, but I got to go. I'll see you guys next week.
Take care, Bourne.
See ya.
But was anything really of importance on ECW this week?
Not really.
Ricky Ortiz is still undefeated.
I enjoyed the fact that I was there live for a dirt sheet, an in person, on show dirt sheet segment.
Oh, cool. Which I heard was pretty funny.
It was very good because they were like, no, we're not going to make fun of you, Mark Henry, and they announced Chavo, and then they sang Chavo's intro, which was hilarious. they picked on Matt Hardy, of course. They Morrison apologized that his fans wouldn't get to see him in the scramble, and of course the set gets destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why they just taped all three shows where they wanted to give people a few days off, was that it?
I think there was actually an international tour in the middle of all this.
I didn't see any. I didn't see any results, though.
That's what I'm trying to find out, because...
I didn't see anything on the schedule.
Maybe it was Labor Day. Yeah.
It might have been Labor Day, because...
Yeah.
Okay, because I know they are doing, for sure, an international tour at the end of the month, because they're taping SmackDown ECW in Columbus on a Sunday. I will be there.
Okay.
And then they're gonna do Raw in Cincinnati the next day. I will be there. And then Tuesday they're gonna be on a plane for Portugal.
Yeah. What, Raw or SmackDown?
Both.
Both. I think they're all going.
Bring in Aldo Montoya.
Oh.
Stop that.
You gotta find him at an Olive Garden first.
So, basically, Impact. 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 Impact.
I missed it.
Didn't see it.
I saw it.
Impact. Impact was Eli Manning running in a touchdown.
Yeah, that was about it. I was watching the Republican National Convention myself.
I was working. Yay.
What were you doing?
I was in Cincinnati working for, I'm sorry I didn't correct you, Mr. Seidelman, when I talked to you yesterday, for a group that's just getting off the ground called PT Wrestling. It's a small training facility in Cincinnati that's pretty much assembled a who's who and who's that of the Southwest Ohio wrestling scene. The man in charge, who does not come out there and actually work, is WWE's Jimmy Wang Yang.
No shit!
I'm your boy.
He personally invited me to come down and be his ring announcer.
Cool beans. I'm jealous. Cool beans.
And, well, it was a who you know thing, because Jimmy is very tight with the head promoter of Generation of Destination Wrestling, Jalen Russell, the guy that I worked for on a regular basis. They like my voice and they like me in the ring. They like the energy I bring to the ring. And the fact that I get to sit and watch the looks on a lot of these guys' faces when they walk in the door saying, what are you doing on our side of the guardrail? Because we're talking guys from Heartland Wrestling.
Zero.
Sean GP Code, Sean Casey.
We're good.
We're totally caught up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know Wes Thatcher?
Oh. Impact.
I've met him. He does no. Actually, he does know who I am. I asked because he was the man I applied to work for the Heartland Wrestling School when it was still in business back in 2003.
Oh, wow.
I washed out, admitted to washing out, and I ran into him a couple of years ago when Russell purchased some of his equipment when he shut Heartland Wrestling down. And he said he remembered me and asked me, you know, what I was involved in. And I told him that I was not going to be so stupid to climb in the ring and pretend that I could wrestle. I know I can't wrestle, so but there's 100 different things I can do for the business. And Les looked at me and shook my hand, which is huge when it comes to a gentleman who's been in the business that long.
He's in his 70s now, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And he's more or less retired. The equipment got split up. Russell ended up with a pretty good chunk of it, and the rest of it went to Heartland Wrestling graduate Cody Hawk. And he's trying to run a league called Ego Pro, but they've gotten kicked out of, they've been kicked off TV and kicked out of buildings, and he's trying. I give him credit for that, but things just keep going wrong. But PT Wrestling and Generation of Destination seem to be chugging right along. I'm supposed to be going down to Hamilton tomorrow. I thought I was going to be going down there for promos, but Russell said that they weren't set up. They weren't going to do it. They were working on other things. I was like, well, that shoots my weekend out of the water. And then they want me next weekend, and I already had plans.
Oh, well.
Do I work? I know, but do I, you know, it's one of those things. Do I give up going, spending time with my boyfriend and his family to do this promo work?
Well, does he understand?
I think he'll understand. I got to talk to him.
Yeah.
I'll have to call him a little bit later.
That's
he's working
good
tonight.
Idea. All right, let's go to Impact, which was split up from 2 days.
I'm sorry? They shot this over 2 days?
Yes.
Okay, and it still sucked pretty bad, right?
It did. We start off with Kurt Angle and Booker T and Sharmell in the ring. They said that Samoa was disgraced with the world titles, and Booker T said Sting spoke the truth last week talking about the new generation being a bunch of spoiled brats. Here we go again. Old generation, new generation, but they're actually booking this right. Right now, they're booking it right.
Yeah.
So
since the guy that they have as the old school people, they're hated, they're heels.
Yes.
Kurt Angle, Booker T, Team 3D.
And Sting.
Sorta,
yes.
Right. Sorta comes to the end of the show. Chris Gaines got on screen and predicted that he would qualify for the Four Ways to Glory match tonight. Booker T said Christian should be rolling with them and basically tried to recruit him into their faction of bitter veterans, which I actually kind of see happening in the near future. Kurt Angle asked Christian if he wanted to do it the easy way or the hard way. Christian asked what the hard way was, so they started to brawl until Booker T broke it up.
You want this turned down?
It's okay. It's okay. And all that good stuff. Then we get an interview with Samoa Joe. Joe said Kevin Nash always told him not to lose his temper, but last week Nash lost Simpson and it cost him a match. You guys still there?
Yeah, we're waiting on you.
Yeah.
Oh. Riveting television, really.
Then we get a rough cut with Consequences Creed.
Boring. Next.
Oh. Yeah. I kind of find this is one of the best things that TNA does are these rough cuts.
They are, but do we care about Consequences Creed? I don't.
This, nope. They're trying to build them up.
Because VRM, you were at Hard Justice, weren't you?
I was supposed to be, but I got rained out from this by the stupid tornado warnings.
Okay. If you saw it on live TV, consequences, he got booed out of the arena. He suffered from the Randy Orton syndrome being forced down our throats. And Petey Williams was over big time.
Mm-hmm.
So, consequences, please. Yeah, so what? Not much. Excuse me.
No, you're fine.
Then we got an interview with Lauren and Sheik Abdul-Bashir. Yeah. And then they face off each other in a match. Sheik won, but the fans filled the referee on what happened, and he restarted the match. Okay.
What did they do, by the way? What did he do? What, did he cheat in some way?
Yeah. Grab the tights, ring rope, something like that.
Okay.
1 minute later, Creed pinned the Sheik cleanly to win a shot at Petey Williams' title at No Surrender. Oh.
Again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's in Canada. That's going to go over well.
You feel like a lead fart in church.
Which is probably true. After the match, the Sheik protested referee Thane Sewell, a.k.a. Glamour Boy Shane. I'm not big on... Really big on indie wrestling. Do you guys know who Glamour Boy Shane is?
No.
I've heard of him, yeah. I know he wrestles in Puerto Rico a lot.
Oh, okay. Glamour! Slapped him across the face, and then went berserk and knocked the Sheik out of the ring with wrestling moves and holds and all that good stuff. So I think they're building him up, you know, another referee-turned-wrestler storyline, but this is actually merited. Haven't had one like this since 1987 with Dangerous Danny Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Where Danny Davis was a wrestler who wrestled under Mr. X. And then also refereed. We get an interview of Kevin Nash, fast forward. Then we get to Beer Money.
Uh-oh.
Robert said he and James Storm were the last two characters announced for the new TNA Impact video game. Let me just put this in layman terms. Storm drinks, Brood means royalties, Prince Justice Brotherhood, come in, blah, 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 big fight starts.
No, okay, what I liked about this, or at least what I read about this, is that they're saying, you know, they're trying to keep them, you know, the moral. I like that. I like that idea. I like the Prince Justice Brotherhood. But what's very interesting, if you look at the roster, have any of you actually looked at the roster of the TNA Impact people? Who has here?
Not lately, although
okay.
I can look at my website.
Yeah, but I got to tell you something. No women. None. Zero. What the fuck are you guys thinking? Okay.
Kirstie Hemme's in it, isn't she?
Not sure.
I thought
she was. But I'm talking as playable characters.
Okay.
Okay.
No Kong?
No Kong.
Ugh.
Ooh.
Fail. Yeah.
Big fail.
But then again, I must say something.
Okay.
This game is made by Midway, a.k.a. Acclaim.
A.k.a. Warzone.
A.k.a. Rambo for the NES. A.k.a. Knight Rider for the NES. A.k.a. Cybernoid for the NES. A.k.a. the original Mortal Kombat for the Super Nintendo.
A 1 out of 20 ain't bad.
Well, I'm actually going right now to, I believe, the complete roster of the TNA Impact video game, which I believe comes out next week.
Next week.
And also, if you are interested, there's going to be an alternate reality component to it based on the story mode. If you go to a website called whoissuicide.com, that's part of the story mode of this, which is going to be
quite interesting. Where are we here?
I just thought they were reintroducing Kaz in a mask.
Yeah,
okay.
It is.
Here is the
it's
complete roster.
The
there is a 20, there's a 25-man roster, okay, in alphabetical order, or at least close to it anyway. Abyss, AJ Styles, Alex Shelley, Booker T, Chris Sabin, Christian Cage, Homicide, Rhino, Sting, Shark Boy, Sanjay Dutt, Brother Devon, Robert Roode, Eric Young, Hernandez, Jay Lethal, Kurt Angle, Christopher Daniels, no, Curryman, Samoa Joe, Jeff Jarrett, Scott Steiner, Tomko, Kevin Nash, Brother Ray, and James Storm.
Wait a minute. Christopher Daniels is in this game and not Curryman?
Correct.
And Tomko, it was too late to get Tomko out of there, so...
I think Tomko's still there. He's kind of conflicted at the moment.
Right, but I'm saying to you, the TNA Knockouts division, which is the actual better wrestling division in women's, not even represented? How dumb do you guys have to be?
Well, this game has been in developmental for over 2 years.
So this
like
was well before the well before the Knockouts division was really established.
Okay. Well, then maybe TNA Impact 09 will have the Knockouts division.
I mean, because stuff like that gets wonky because there's so much that goes on in wrestling. I know this is a horrible example, but I'm going to use it anyway. Anybody here played WWE Crush Hour?
Oh. Yes.
Okay. What is that?
Unfortunately.
Do you remember the game Twisted Metal?
Yes.
Think that, but with WWE stuff in it, and the greatest line. Triple H has got the twisty rocket.
Okay.
Anyway.
For everyone who wanted to drive around with Chuck Palumbo.
Did he actually have a car there? Now I'm going to have to go back and look.
Yeah, he
I
did.
Billy and Chuck had cars.
See, that was the point. The game was over a year in development, and I think when it came out, Kane still had his mask, but Matt Hardy had the V1 shirt. There was a whole bunch of little things where you're like, but that's long gone, and how'd you get that in there, and little stuff like that.
Well, if I remember correctly, Chris Benoit was taken out of the SmackDown versus Raw 08 version. Was that which one was the last official version in?
07.
07.
Okay. So he was taken out of the 08 version.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it can be done, but, we'll see. I mean, I'm very interested to see what the video game people see because they and say about this particular thing. But go on about the...
Impact?
Yes.
We had an interview with the beautiful people, and Kip James.
Kip.
Finally, a role he belongs in.
Whoa! I forgot Kip James was on our list.
How long until you have to take a shit?
An hour.
I'm gonna hold you to it. So if you come in there in 30 minutes, I'm going to say you have to hold it for a half hour.
Oh, God.
I'm asking you. An hour. So at 10:30.
The pleasures of living with your mom and her having a big mouth. Especially when it comes about to doing bodily functions when you're still on the radio.
Anyway, go on.
Yeah. On that note, ODB, Mom was trying to do an interview with ODB, but guess what? She had to go to the bathroom. Boy, I can segue.
Yes, you can.
But sadly, not too well. Lauren tried to do an interview with ODB, but she was sitting on the toilet. They did an interview through the stall door. ODB compared Saeed and Kong to whatever she flushed. Classy, then she forgets to wash her hands.
Keep those hygiene clean, kids. Anyway,
otherwise she'll end up looking like ODB. But before that, open challenge. Abyss versus Johnny Devine. Who, I'm still shocked, still has a job in TNA.
Squad.
Yeah, who else is 3D going to have come randomly here with kendo sticks while they're losing?
I heard Runt's now clean.
Is he clean yet? Is he clean?
I think so.
Hmm.
I'd rather have Spike in a job than Johnny Devine. Team 3D accepted the challenge on behalf of Johnny Devine for a hardcore match. Devine hit Abyss with a cookie sheet, but Abyss didn't even flinch. Team 3D kept distracting Abyss when Devine went to get more weapons. Abyss just punched the chair into Devine's face and gave him a choke slam. And then Team 3D interferes until Matt Morgan makes the save. Remember when I said earlier that there was split through 2 days?
Yeah.
That was day one. Now we're in day two. Lauren greets Sting in the parking lot and asks him what he's going to say tonight, but he blew her off and walked past her without speaking.
Geez, that sounds like hard justice.
Very sounds like hard justice. Then we had a knockouts match. ODB defeats Raisha Saeed. ODB wins. ODB chased Saeed backstage and got her mask.
Her kafir, or whatever that is.
Her hood, her wrap.
Veil.
Burka.
Yeah, burka. It's amazing what you learn on Jeopardy, ladies and gentlemen. And burka coming from a guy who won over $36,000 on that show.
Yes, I did.
And I wouldn't be surprised if one of the clues was about a burka.
No, it wasn't, but that's okay.
But
anyway, yeah, but then I believe Kong got the mask back for her.
Kong got the mask back for her. ODB, I mean, say, you know, hit her face really well, put the mask back on, all during commercial.
Of course. They spent several minutes destroying ODB.
Then Roxy came out, but Tony then just beat Roxy up and then viciously also bombed her on top of a folding chair.
Ow.
Not fun.
Mm-mm. Then we get another promo with the beautiful people. Like, we need two promos. They could have done
privilege.
This out in the ring.
Their privilege.
Yeah. Then we get a Borash and AJ Styles promo. Once again, AJ Styles saying that he was an idiot for listening to Sting. And he paid for it because Sting knocked him down from behind. Styles said he helped TNA to where it is today. So Kurt Angle Brooklyn should be thanking him. Because Styles came out from day one. And did it. And helped put TNA on the map. Styles said they should call his wife and thank her because she's been there along the way. Styles says there is one wrestler we actually respect, and that's Christian Cage. Styles said he would beat Christian tonight, no surrender, so he'd become the world champion. Then we get to the match. Cage wins because Frank Trigg interferes.
Trigg is supposed to wrestle, correct?
Trigg has been cleared, and it is slated for him to wrestle AJ Styles at No Surrender. Okay.
Was Eric Angle unavailable?
Yes. I think Eric Angle grew his hair out again. So now we get to the Sting promo, which I'm thinking, finally. Sting said he thought for sure he'd be booed out of the ring, building last week, but he was surprised that he was cheered by the fans. Sting thanked the fans and said he knows that the fans want to bring the respect back into the wrestling business, too. Quite ironically, I think they just flashed the applause signs. Because all audiences are sheep. Sting said without the fans, there is no TNA and there is no Sting. Sting remembered Victor Owen, the percentage fan who wanted to see Booker T taken out by Samoa Joe. The Hard Justice, the same percentage, wanted to see Kurt Angle taken out by AJ Styles. Sting said last week there is a percentage of fans in Alerna who want to see AJ smash him with a baseball bat. Sting said, if you don't stand for something, then you fail, then you'll fall for everything. So where do you stand? Joe came in and said to me he'll be standing on Sting's throat. Sting gave Joe the bat. Turned his back, begging him to take a shot. Joe gave the bat back and said, just like Sting's respect, he doesn't need the bat either. Joe said, when you turn your back on the future, you will live to regret it, and pull out his own weapon. Which was...
a barbed wire tack encrusted chair.
I buy that.
A donut? I don't know.
A jumbo jack. Oh, that's what I have in my hand right now. I'll drop it for a while. Kevin Nash interrupted Joe before Joe could go on the camp. Nash says if it doesn't have to be like this, told Joe that if he was going to do it man on man without the weapons. Well, guess what? Sting cracks Joe off the bat and puts him in the Scorpion Death Drop. Jeff Jarrett's music then plays. Sting did the cut the music sign. Sting said, okay, Jeff, you got my attention. Maybe next week you can talk.
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. My cell phone is, not cell phone, my cordless phone is losing battery. So I got to hang up, guys. So I will see you guys next week. And,
all right.
Nikki, good luck with everything. And Rob,
you
can all see online.
Okay, and Typho, I can't wait until Monday. Robert Q. Seidelman is the sexiest man alive.
Owned.
Or Shelton Benjamin's WWE champion.
And you get to host the show next week.
Gotta make Seidelman change his stick.
Let's talk about tonight's SmackDown.
Okay.
I didn't see it because the Mets are so much more important.
What?
According to New York City, the Mets outweigh SmackDown, and I didn't get to see it because it was preempted for a Mets game.
Oh, okay. I was like, you willingly watched the New York Mets over SmackDown? I'm
no.
Going to switch to the phone now. Okay. No, my apologies. I feel bad for you. They try to do that to us periodically with the Indians, so I feel for you.
It'll happen.
Which is worse than the Mets, because the Mets are actually in the playoff race.
Yeah, and I'm the Yankees fan of the group, so, yeah.
Yeah, Jason Block is a big Yankees fan, too. How about this for a dark match? Jimmy Yang Wang versus Ghost Hiyozaki.
I wish he'd said something to me about that. Oh, well. I'm just glad he worked.
In the ring, we had the five Rumble competitors.
This opening promo was awesome. But I'm a Triple H fan, so I'm going to like it anyway. For the part of guys, this is a promo. I'm supposed to talk about retaining my title. You guys all come out and try to interrupt me. I beat your ass. You run to the back, and we don't see you for the rest of the night. It was beautiful. I almost fell off the couch. I was laughing so hard.
I had to find that line just on.
I find the cool thing is that Brian Kendrick actually tried to sneak attack Triple H.
I was also digging the argument with MVP and Shelton Benjamin on the ramp before Hunter quote unquote broke that up.
Yep.
So from there.
I'm sorry, I'm still eating dinner.
No, you're
fine. Which has been going on for about an hour. Which means I'll probably have to go at 10 o'clock.
Well, we have to go at 10 o'clock, right?
R-Truth defeats Bam Neely.
They gave R-Truth an entrance that he probably should have done in Pittsburgh last week.
What's up?
They played What's Up, but he was in the stands with a microphone, sang his entrance, coming down the stairs. He should have done that in Pittsburgh, otherwise we wouldn't have gone so horribly mild.
Mm-hmm.
They probably made this in response to the mildness.
Admitted. I felt bad because I'm like, come on, guys. I'm looking around and nobody in my section is cheering, but then again, they're all football players who probably don't watch the show. And we're only there because the tickets were free.
Or because Vince begged them.
Either way, I think he just lured them with the tickets because one of Vince's stage managers was the one in charge of them. I recognized the guy with the tickets and kept bugging him to give me one because I wasn't going to be able to see around these guys. See last week's show for details.
Then we had an Undertaker promo.
Which wasn't as good as last week's.
Well, then again, I think it topped last week's.
And live, it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. I have a shot from the show on my desktop right now of Undertaker talking, looking at the hard cameras to my picture's left, but you see his face on the Jumbotron while he's talking about Vicky. I've got some shots of the ring post pyro, but...
The Undertaker said that at Unforgiven he was coming for Guerrero's soul. The Undertaker told Guerrero to think about what's going to happen at Unforgiven in 2 days. The Undertaker talked about putting Vicky in a coffin and setting it ablaze. Gets worse.
Go ahead.
The earthly inferno will send you to the fiery bowels of hell where you can rejoin your cursed husband. And there was a pause. Then he said Edge. Really an awkward gasp from... Oh, God. The Undertaker promised Vicky an endless agony and eternity in hell.
And when finished,
Shelton Benjamin... Oh, sorry, go ahead, Nikki.
And when he finished, he teleported away, which made the next entrances for the match that was coming up actually kind of fun, because MVP came out first, and he's looking around like, where the hell did he go? Where the hell did he go? Then his pyro goes off, and MVP jumps like Eric freaking Young. And looks behind him like, what the hell was that? Oh, it's my pyro. Okay. And then he posts it, and then he goes to the ring. And Shelton was not quite as tentative, but he did look around a little bit himself on the way to the ring, like, where'd he go? Where'd he go?
Shelton Benjamin did defeat MVP in that match.
That's what you get for mouthing off to the testers, MVP.
Yeah, I learned to work like Shelton Benjamin.
Wait a minute.
What?
Right now I got a Triple H Jeff Hardy backstage promo.
Sunday,
You're a guy that's already got two strikes against you. What's that saying? Three strikes, Jeff, and you're out of the game.
Yeah, brilliant trips. Then we got Marie Sillette and Maria Kanellis backstage promo,
which was nothing.
And the match was less than nothing.
Shocker.
There wasn't much to it.
Then we get to something worth watching. The Brian Kendrick. And Jeff Hardy. Thanks to interference from Ezekiel Jackson, which I didn't mind, the Kendrick scored an upset victory over Jeff Hardy using the Kendrick.
A.K.A. slice bread number two.
Right. Then Vicky Guerrero arrived, walked under her own power into the arena, screaming orders at people.
She insisted on not having that wheelchair. Somebody brought her one, and she said no.
Okay.
Maybe she's finally healed.
Yes, the injury has taken longer than Cowboy Bob Orton's arm injury. Super Crazy defeats Ryan Braddock, a.k.a. Jay Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
They just debuted this guy and they're already jobbing him out.
He hasn't won a match yet.
No, he hasn't. I don't get it because I thought he was actually a pretty good heel. Then again, I also thought Ricky Ortiz was something, and I've been yelled at consistently about how much he sucks.
Sean Spears hasn't won yet either.
That worries me too. So you think Vince was doing it on purpose?
Yeah. Vladimir Kozlov and the Big Show have a promo, but then guess what?
Then Vicky comes out.
Excuse me!
Well, she wasn't that bad. But she shooed Big Show away. She shooed Kozlov away. And simply said, Undertaker, I'm not afraid of you. If you're going to send me to hell, make sure I land next to Edge. I've been to places worse than hell. So do your worst.
Yeah.
So I wanted lightning bolts. Where were my lightning bolts? Come on, Taker, you're slipping.
Then we get another Brie Bella versus Victoria match. Brie Bella number two. And then Brie Bella number one comes up. And rolls Victoria up for the 1-2-3 for the win for the second straight week.
We're all going to be shocked when we learn that they're twins.
Yes. As Johnny Ace said prior. Then we got to the Eve Torres Triple H promo, which you just heard a good part of it a few minutes ago. Main event lumberjack match. Triple H and the Great Khali. Triple H beats them. Then there's a huge clusterfuck. Fun for everybody, as they like to say. Hey, I got an idea. I'm sure you guys like to hear some more FCW stuff. Since we got a little bit of time left, about 15 minutes left. Or do you guys want to kill it for tonight?
I'm good. I enjoy some good FCW.
Yeah, what the hell?
Okay. Oh, listen to this. WWE is trying to get its own TV network. Quickly, Chris Benoit had his own E! True Hollywood Story. So far it's only aired in Canada. Probably won't air down here. Here we go. Quickly, and this was done from yesterday. It's not detailed or anything, but here we go. TJ Wilson and Afa Jr. TJ Wilson beat Afa and Brian Braddock in a triple threat. God, Jay Bradley can't even win on FCW. Kevin Kiley defeated Mike Cruel. Sin Bodhi defeated Lupe Martinez. Then we had an interview with Scotty Goldman, a.k.a. Colt Cabana and Cafu, interrupted by Heath Miller and Joe Henning. And both teams will challenge Nick Damus and Gabby Spears for the Florida Tag Titles. D.H. Smith defeated Cully Boneal. Joe Henning and the Puerto Rican Nightmares defeated Sterling Jack Gabriel, Nick Damus, and Gavin Spears. Drew McIntyre defeated Heath Miller. Tiffany beat Rocca. D'Lo Brown defeated Vic Adams. Johnny Curtis defeated Tyrone Jones. And Sheamus Shaughnessy defeated Jake Hager by disqualification, so Jake Hager retains. I would say more, but there was all I got was the results, and that was it.
Poor Ryan Braddock. Can't win anywhere.
No. I think we should end it for tonight. And by the way, just to let people know, Have I Got News for You will, we will do Have I Got News for You on the 19th. Because after a TNA pay-per-view, and we need the laughter. So, good night, VRM.
Night.
Night, Nikki.
Night, Mr. Seidelman.
Night, Typho, and remember, Robert Q. Seidelman is the sexiest man alive.
Yeah, I remember.
And you will probably, will you be on the WrestleCrap forums that Sunday night?
Probably.
Not if you can help it.
Yeah, I may disappear for 30 days or so. You know, wellness.
Just be warned, on my switchboard, guess what I have?
Yeah, I know.
Screw your boobs. Oh, wait.
Yes, I have that too.
Screw your boobs!
But I also have your digits.
Yep.
So, if he loses, I'm calling. Take care of yourself, man.
In the gold standard.
Yeah, the gold standard is fool's gold compared to the Brian Kendrick.
No. The evil dog lost his momentum at the end of SmackDown when Jeff Hardy decided to hit him with a twist of fate. None of your boys are taking that title from the evil Dr. Levesque.
Right, Nikki. Take care of yourself.
Always.
All right, good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.